Welcome to the Film Florida podcast. I'm John Lux, and I'm the executive director of Film Florida. Before we get to our interview, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the Film Florida podcast. If you're not already a member of Film Florida, please consider joining at filmflorida.org. If you like what you hear on the podcast, please consider going to our website and donating $20.23 for our 2023 fundraising campaign. We also have a Film Florida merchandise page. Visit filmflorida.creator-spring.com to purchase Film Florida t-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, and more. Actress, producer, and Florida resident Catherine Bell is best known for her long-running roles as Lieutenant Colonel Sarah McKenzie in JAG, Denise Sherwood in Army Wives, and Cassie Nightingale in The Good Witch. We talked to her about those roles, going to college for biology and pre-med, transitioning to acting, becoming a producer, her passion for adventure and thrills, and more on this episode of the Film Florida podcast. Here's my conversation with Catherine Bell. Welcome to the Film Florida podcast, Catherine.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
So let's start at the beginning. What's your origin story?
Well, let's see. I was actually born in England. My father's British. My mother is Iranian. And I spent the first maybe 6 months there, not long. We went to Iran, where my mother's family lived, for a little while, and then made it to Los Angeles. And I was there until pretty much my whole life, till about 2 years ago.
Yeah. And now your acting career started sort of as a teenager after you took some acting classes, but not necessarily because you wanted to be an actor, but you thought it would help you in being a little bit more outgoing. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I was very shy. It's really funny because when I tell people that, I know I'm not shy now. I was very introverted. I was like meek little Kathy back when people called me Kathy, which seems also like a whole nother time, an era of life. But I basically, there was an acting class offered at UCLA where I was going for biomedical engineering or being a doctor or who knows what. And there was a summer acting class and I thought, that sounds like a cool way to confront some fears. It terrified me. And I always liked to do things that scared me. And I always felt that if you confront something scary like that and you do it, then you're that much less scared and, you know, more able to confront the next thing in life. So I took the class and I ended up loving it. It was actually really, really fun.
Well, you mentioned your original studies at UCLA in biology and pre-med. What drove you that direction initially?
Okay, so I grew up in a Persian family. Persians are kind of known for you're a doctor, a dentist, architect, engineer, and that's about it, maybe a lawyer. And so I wanted to actually be a fine artist. I wanted to be a painter, a graphic designer or something. And my mom was like, oh, no, you're definitely not doing that. I mean, she imagined me like setting up a canvas on Venice Beach and just trying to sell my paintings. So I didn't do that. And I went to UCLA and I really didn't like it. I was a good student, but I just was always interested in the arts. So I quickly left there. I went to Japan and I modeled. And when I came back, I found this acting class. And then that was it.
And now you had a number of acting credits in the early 1990s. Was there an experience in that time that you thought, okay, I'm on the right track, or something that really impacted how the rest of your career would play out?
You know, I was the first 7 or 8 years, I pretty much didn't work. I didn't make any money as an actor. I was right at the point of thinking, it's time to do something different, you know? You get all the side jobs. I was a terrible waitress. I became a massage therapist, which was actually great. I worked at, you know, fancy Beverly Hills hotels and chiropractor's offices and stuff. But still, I'm like, what am I doing? You know, struggling to pay the bills every month. And I was in an acting class, an incredible class all that time. And I started doing some scenes in class to really stretch and grow as an actor. There was just a point where I booked my first job. It was one line in a little something that's not on the air anymore. And then I got Hercules with Kevin Sorbo, another Florida resident, friend of mine. I went to New Zealand and did that. And that was like, okay, this is cool. Getting paid to travel and a fun character. This is exciting. And then when I came back, I got a guest starring role on Friends, which was a huge, huge deal. So it was kind of this, like, little by little, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then shortly after that, I got JAG.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. In 1996, you're cast in the role of Lieutenant Colonel Sarah McKenzie in JAG. And what most people don't remember is that JAG had season one on NBC, but then moved over to CBS for season two. A lot of changes were made to the series between seasons one and two, but most notably, you were added to the cast. What do you remember about getting that role in that time frame?
Oh man, it was such an incredible time in my life. So I had actually guest starred on the season finale of JAG when it was on NBC with a different female lead. And I was on set the day that Don Belisario, the creator of the show, announced that they were canceled. It was actually awful. The whole crew was so disappointed. And Don said, "But don't worry, CBS is looking at picking it up and we have some interest and we might be coming back in a different format." So I was there that day and I had met Don and we connected and I connected with the rest of the cast and the crew. And so then when I found out that CBS did in fact pick it up, they were recasting the female lead and they were looking for someone who was brunette, who was tall, because David James Elliott is very, very tall. And they wanted someone who spoke different languages and did martial arts. And I'm going, me over here. I do all of that. I speak Farsi. I was doing martial arts at the time. And so yeah, I wrote Don Belisario a letter to bring me in, even though I'd already been on the show. I said, "Wouldn't it be interesting if, you know, I had this whole idea, like make my character look just like this other woman that Harm was in love with, and then now every time he sees me, he thinks of this other girl." And Don was like, "Oh, I don't think it's gonna work. No." But he brought me in, and I had six callbacks, stressful. And yeah, I go to the, you know, you go to the producers, and then you go to the network, and then you go to the studio, and yeah, so it was a pretty incredible moment, and I landed the role. And well, the rest is kind of history. Although the part that most people don't know about is that they had the option to fire me after the first episode, because I'd never done anything except guest star in a few things. So they were like, "Let's just test her out." So that was an incredibly tense first episode, but I made it.
Well, and I mean, talk about the pressure there, you know, coming in after season one and the network change. I mean, clearly there were a lot of things that were changed between season one and season two, but you were the kind of the face of those changes. There had to be enormous pressure on you, beside possibly losing your job after the first episode, but to either make or break this change.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really felt it. I felt like, okay, because I was actually the third girl. There was a girl in the pilot, Andrea Parker, and there was another girl after. And I knew that they wanted to go back to the Andrea Parker vibe. She was brunette, very strong, similar age to David, so that we could kind of go head to head. Because I think that's really what makes the show, is the it to just be like equals, right? And then we could always be battling about stuff. Tracy Needham was a great actress, but she was younger than him. And so she had to call him sir and basically yes or no sir, and she could never, you know, stand up to him. So I knew that when I was doing my auditions that they wanted the Andrea Parker type, and kind of adjusted my audition accordingly. She wasn't available anymore. She was on to a new show. So lucky for me. And yeah, a bit of pressure, but man, it was fun. I was just learning on the fly. I feel like I had no idea what I was doing, but I was just like, I'm learning as quick as I could.
Well, and now JAG ran for 10 seasons. You were on 9 of them. The series won a few primetime Emmy Awards and was nominated for a number of others. What's your lasting takeaway from your time as Sarah McKenzie?
Oh man, that whole experience was just like a dream. I mean, it was really like huge primetime network show that was just huge all over the world. I got to film on aircraft carriers. We spent 3 days on a carrier out at sea. It's just unbelievable. You know, I got to have dinner with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and I mean, I got to just meet people and go places that are most people don't ever get to do. And then really just to meet and represent the military, just so many people that I met and have such huge admiration and love for, like, wow, what they do, the sacrifices, both them and their families, and just such incredible people with so much honor. It was really an honor to portray them, you know.
And now, in the middle of JAG, the show was, you know, kind of the launching point for NCIS, which has gone on to run for 20 seasons and have a number of other series offshoots. There has to be a little pride in that as well, that they started on JAG, and you were lucky enough to be on a few episodes of NCIS Los Angeles as well, right?
Absolutely. That was so much fun to go back and put on the uniform and be Mac again for a little while. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that NCIS was our spinoff. which is funny. But yeah, I remember Mark Harmon came on and guest starred on our show, and then they went off, and God, what an incredible run they've had. But yeah, it does feel good that we you know, there are little babies, and look at how many of them there are now.
And now JAG ended in 2005, and you did some other things, around. And then in 2007, you were cast as Denise Sherwood in Army Wives. Talk about getting that role and your early thoughts on the series.
You know, it's funny because when my manager first called me and said, "Hey, there's this incredible script called Army Wives," and they wanted me for the role of Denise Sherwood, it was an offer basically, and I just my initial thought was, "Oh, no, tell them thank you, but I don't think I can do another military show right after doing JAG for almost a decade." But my manager, I have two managers, and they were very smart, and they said, "You know, you should read it, and you should meet with Catherine Fugere, the creator, because it's really good." And the script was phenomenal. I read it. It was like really, really well written. It was a drama. It was emotional. It was very, very different show from JAG. Even though it's a military theme, but it's about the women, the families, the relationships, and the loss and the bonds. And yeah, so thank God I said yes. And that was another incredible experience.
And now the series ran for 7 seasons, another very successful series. Like, besides you, of course, what do you attribute the success to now of back-to-back great series?
Oh, thank you. I mean, I've been so fortunate. I think really the people sometimes ask me that question, and the only thing I can say is that it's a combination of a great script. You start with that, a great story, script, and then all of the elements that come together, every actor, each one of them, how they interact with each other, and then that works. And then the crew and the producers and everyone just being aligned, and magic happens. But who knows where that comes from or what part, but I've just been so fortunate in finding these incredible projects.
Well, and you mentioned now back-to-back military themed shows. I mean, it sounds like that was just a coincidence, right? That, I mean, there was no science to that. It just happened, right?
Absolutely. It was a total coincidence. Yeah, it wasn't like I was looking for another military show. In fact, I thought I would do something totally different, which I did. It was a very different character and show.
Yeah.
But I think Catherine Fugere knew me from JAG, but I think she was just a fan, and lucky for me, that was an amazing experience.
Yeah. And now while you're doing Army Wives, you did a few Hallmark movies as Cassie Nightingale in The Good Witch. And those started as a couple of standalone movies. How did you get attached to that franchise?
So Orly Adelson was the executive producer of Good Witch, and there was just one movie. That's all it was. It was a cute Hallmark TV movie, and they weren't even doing that many at the time. Hallmark was just getting into that business. It's funny because at the time, I think I had just started Army Wives, so really all Orly would have known me from was JAG, which is a pretty particular role and character. And yet I got an offer to play the Good Witch, and it's funny because that's more my personality in person. I'm not so much Sarah McKenzie, and maybe more whatever, light and silly or fun or something. But I asked Orly why she picked me, and I guess she had talked to a casting director who knew me from meetings in the room, and she said, "You got to get Catherine. She's this character." So I was lucky enough to have that, and we did this movie, and it was super cute and did really well, and we thought that was it. And then a year later, every summer I had a few months off from my shows. And so we did another one, and that was really successful as well. Good Witch's Garden, I think that one was called. And then the year after, they said, "Let's do another one." It literally just went like that. Next thing you know, we'd done like five of them, and then or six or something like that. At that point, the Army Wives ended, and we'd all been kind of itching to turn Good Witch into a series, which is what it felt like. We were just doing one episode every year. I said, "Let's put that together and do a bunch of episodes together."
That's funny. And now it was during that time that you started producing more, including that role on some of the Good Wife franchise stuff. How did producing enter the equation? Was that just kind of a natural evolution for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's something that when you get sort of a name in our industry, you get the opportunity to attach your name as a producer and just have more say in it. The show was already up and running, and we had our main producers, our on-set hands-on producer, John Eskenas, and then Orly, who was more executive from above. But it's just nice to be able to go, "Hey, I think that we should go this direction with this character," or whatever, just having ideas that people listen to and have more of a creative input, which is super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you mentioned that Army Wives ended in 2013. You were already doing the Good Witch movies. And then in 2015, you all decided to make it a series. How did, you talked a little bit about going from a couple of movies to a series that did 7 seasons and 76 episodes. But I mean, was that collectively like cast all getting together and say, hey, let's do this more often? We kind of like this. I mean, or was there, how did that all come about?
I think we'd all joked about it a lot on set because at that point it was like 6 or 7 movies and it seemed like, why don't we just turn this into a series? I was busy at the time. And so when the show ended, John Eskenazi and Orly Adelson, our producers, we kind of just got on a phone call and thought, do you want to do this? Yeah, I would be interested in that. And then we had some conversations about how the series would go because I always felt very strongly that Cassie shouldn't be so perfect. Like, she knew everything and nothing ever flustered her. And that's fine for a movie, but in an ongoing series, I think you need a character who has a bit more humanity, So we kind of talked about that. And then we recast. Chris was not available to be my husband. He was on another show. And so we brought in James Denton, which also ended up working out really well, and everything just aligned.
Yeah, that was really cool. And now most actors are fortunate to get, one television series to last, five, six, seven seasons. You've had three. So from basically 1996 to 2021, you did a lot of other things, but during that time, you were the lead in three very successful long-running television series. So I'm sure everybody wants to know, what's the secret? What's your secret?
Oh man, yeah, it's incredible when you put it like that. Wow. I'm so fortunate. I wish I, knew what the magic bullet was. I've just been so fortunate, and they're all so different. That's what really amazes me. I didn't go from like one legal military show to another legal show or whatever, to be able to play these three very different, all remarkable women. Yeah, I don't know. At this point, I think people are just so used to seeing me on their TV that maybe it's partly that. Like, yeah, let's just put her back on again because she's in our living room every week. So, lucky me.
And three really powerful female lead roles, which is great for the industry.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. Again, in different ways, their strength is very different. The army wife, versus who learned to stand up to her abusive son. That was one. Obviously, Sarah McKenzie is just kind of a badass. And then the Good Witch has her magical powers. But yeah, strong, independent, smart women, really, not always the norm. So again, very fortunate.
Yeah. So what do you going have going on right now? What's next?
So I'm looking at that, kind of looking at some book ideas and different people that I've worked with, different writers and producers that we're looking at maybe developing our own show. And it takes a little bit longer, so in development on a couple of those ideas and some movies as well.
Yeah. And you have some other things going on outside of traditional film and television as well, right? That you're working on?
I do, yeah. I have a new skincare company that we launched just a few months ago. That's been super fun to keep coming up with new ideas and working on the formulations and getting that out there. I have a jewelry company that we kind of paused for a little bit, but that goes back to my fun, my artistic side. So we're bringing that back in 2023 in a new way, in a new format. But yeah, just always kind of trying to stay busy. I will say I don't think I'm ever bored. It's not one thing you'll ever hear me say is that, oh, I'm so bored today, I don't know what to do. I always have stuff to do, plus kids. Actually, this year's been kind of nice to slow down a little bit on the acting side for just a minute and take my son to basketball practice and stuff like that.
Yep. Now, on the personal side, you have some hobbies, and you had mentioned you have a passion for adventure and thrill stuff. Talk about why you think those elements are good for everyone, but they've been so good for you.
Yeah, I always tell people, if you're really scared of something, do it. I think it's like the best way to become stronger and be able to face your fears in life in general. Like I was scared of motorcycles when I was 17, and my cousin got one, and it really was like, oh, that's so scary. And I said, you know what? Teach me how to do it. And he kind of showed me a few things. I got on and I went up the this little hill. It was a street that ended in a T in the valley in LA. I never forget. And I crashed right into the curb and fell and got a good exhaust burn on my leg. But you know what? I got up and I did it again. And next thing you know, I knew how to ride a motorcycle. And then whether it's skiing or, you know, bungee jumping, like whatever, you're afraid of heights, just do something to confront that fear, and it will always pay off. But yeah, those have led to some fun hobbies. Motorcycles I don't do as much anymore, but martial arts, like all those different things.
Now you're also a Florida resident now. When did you move to Florida, and why did you come here?
I bought a house here a few years ago as a vacation home. And then about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I made it full time. And I love it here. I was in LA my whole life. And, you know, LA was just getting a little crazy. Traffic was insane and just, you know, yeah, just crazy. Without getting into anything political or controversial. But, you know, it was just like, taxes, and like it was just not as fun to live there as it was when I was growing up. The weather's beautiful for sure, and it's a pretty place and all of that, but I was just more happy here, and I found myself coming here more often. Like I would film in Toronto. We filmed Good Witch in Toronto, and a lot of times I would just come here and have the family come. We'd spend holidays here and summer, and so now we're full time.
Well, hopefully now that you're here, we'll see you in some film or television projects actually filmed in Florida. That's the goal, right?
That would be amazing. I would love that. A friend of mine actually filmed about 15 minutes from where I live last year on a Christmas movie. So yeah, I hope we get to do something here soon. That'd be great.
So after spending most of your life in California and now being a Florida resident, what's worse, hurricanes or earthquakes?
Definitely earthquakes, because at least hurricanes, you can prepare for them. That, you know, they can be devastating. Of course, the one here was headed our way, the last one, and we really lucked out. Our neighbors did not do so well, of course, down south, but at least you have a chance to pack up and, you know, kind of get your most prized possessions and things out, your personal stuff. But earthquakes are just, you start to feel the ground move and you're like, what's going on? And it takes a second, and then you go, oh boy, here we go. Hang on for dear life.
Now, people can also keep up with what you're doing on your website and social media. Where can people find you?
Yeah, definitely. Revamping the website right now, katherinebell.com. And then I'm on Instagram, I'm the real Katherine Bell, because someone else had my name. So I had to add the real at the beginning. And then I think on Twitter, I'm really CB, again, because someone named Catherine Bell had my name. So yeah, definitely check it out. I always try to keep people updated on personal and professional stuff there.
Good. Well, Catherine, it's great to have you in Florida, and I really appreciate you making time for us. And we really appreciate having you on the Film Florida podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be in Florida and on this podcast. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Film Florida podcast. For more information about Film Florida, go to filmflorida.org. Or visit our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. If you're not already a member of Film Florida, please consider joining at filmflorida.org. If you like what you hear on the podcast, please consider going to our website and donating $20.23 for our 2023 fundraising campaign. Check out the Film Florida merchandise at filmflorida.creator-spring.com. And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.